In order for us to understand the direction that the church wants us to reflect on this weekend, we have to know the difference between being smart and being wise. You know, I'm sure a lot of people in this room are very smart. That means you know a lot of things, a lot about things. But to be wise is to be understanding. Not just to know things, but to understand things. Now that's an interesting word, an English word, understand. It means to stand under. And it refers to knowing reality. You know, there are many people in today's world who think that there's no truth, that we kind of make up our truth. So instead of standing under reality, we make up our own. You know, you have your truth and I have my truth. But those of us who are Christians believe that there is a reality exists apart from ourselves, which is the world that God has created. And if we're going to be in right relationship with that world, which is a right relationship with God, a right relationship with other people, a right relationship with creation, we have to understand it. We have to live under it. We have to accept the reality of that there's something other than me. In other words, it's a focus away from ourselves and what we want to reality, which is God's creation. And all of the scripture readings today are helping us to come to an understanding, to stand under reality. Does that make sense? At least in some way? You understand me? Okay, so we ask the Lord to help us listen to these readings, ask for the King Solomon's reign. Solomon is the son of King David. And tradition refers to him as the wisest of all men, primarily because of this prayer that he prays in today's first reading at the beginning of his reign as a king. He prays that the Lord would give him what? An understanding heart. And it says in the reading that God is pleased with him because he didn't ask for a long life for himself, for abundant riches, for lots of money, or for the lives of his enemies. In other words, instead of focusing on himself, King Solomon asked for the gift of being available to be of service to God and to others, to be a man who was wise and understanding. So God is pleased with us and our prayer if we ask for the same kind of things. But many of our prayers are just the opposite, right? We ask for a long life, especially if we're sick. And all of us here ask for wealth and riches, at least most of us do. And there are some of us even who ask for the lives of our enemies, our mother-in-law, or our neighbor who causes problems for us in the neighborhood, rather than to ask for the gift of understanding, which is to be in right relationship with reality, all of reality as God gives it to us. Now, this reading helps us to understand today's gospel, which is, I think, the third Sunday or the fourth Sunday when we've had Jesus tell us parables to help us understand what he refers to as the kingdom of God. And I've said it before, but in case there's new people at Mass this evening that haven't been here in the last couple of weeks, it's important for us to understand exactly what Jesus means when he says the kingdom of God. Because there's a tendency on our part to think that means what it's like when we die and we go to heaven, which is the kingdom of God. But what Jesus means by that phrase is what it's like in this world when God is in charge, when he's the king, when God reigns. And these stories are stories to help us understand what it's like when God is reigning in our hearts and in our lives. And Jesus is always inviting his disciples to be not far from the kingdom of God. In other words, to let God reign, let God be in charge. Okay? So there's three parables about the kingdom of God in today's gospel stories. Let's look at them. Jesus says to his disciples, The kingdom of heaven, which is, you know, interchangeable with the kingdom of God, is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, to understand this, we have to understand the rules of possession of property in Jesus' time. You know, when someone found a treasure buried in the ground, and that was not uncommon, because in those days they didn't have banks, they didn't have security vaults, and when the enemy was attacking, what people would do would hide their treasures by burying their treasures in the ground. And sometimes those people were taken away in slavery or they were killed, and no one knew where the treasure was buried. So occasionally, people would find significant treasure buried in the ground. Who does it belong to? The person who finds it or the person who owns the ground? And it was the law among the Jews and among in the Roman Empire that the treasure belonged to the one who owned the land. And that's why the person who finds this precious treasure buried in the ground does interesting things. He buries it again, then he sells all that he has. He's pretty excited about this, and then goes out and buys that field so he can have the treasure. And Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like that. What does it mean? Well, if we're interested in being part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, we're going to act like that person who got excited about finding that treasure. You know, part of being a part of the kingdom of heaven is being a woman or a man who's excited about the treasure, whose life is filled with joy. If we're interested in being part of the kingdom of heaven, it's important for us to be willing to make a great sacrifice in order to make the kingdom of God part of our lives. In this case, to sell all that he has in order to buy that field. And the third thing that's characteristic of the person seeking the kingdom of heaven in this story is that that person acts with urgency. He does it right away. He doesn't wait. And so those of us who are interested in becoming part of the kingdom of God, Jesus tells us that we have to be women and men of joy, we have to be willing to sacrifice for the treasure, and we have to be able to, we have to be willing to do that with a certain kind of haste and urgency in our lives. So the question is, how does this compare to you and to me? Are we joyful about the treasure of the kingdom of God? You know, the treasure buried in the field and the pearl of great price in these readings is actually Jesus himself. So another way of asking the question, are we excited about Jesus? Do we have joy about our relationship with him? Are we willing to sacrifice and even sacrifice greatly to make the Lord Jesus part of our lives? And are we willing to do that now and not to keep putting it off and putting it off? I think the truth of the matter is, most of the time we're none of those. We have none of those characteristics. We're not joyful about being Christians. That's why the church is not always attractive to people. We're not excited about being disciples of Jesus. Much of the time, we're not willing to sacrifice very much. We go to Mass on Sunday, but that's about all we're going to do. Some of us don't even go every Sunday. And we're willing to put it off for a very long time. We'll do it sometime, but not now. Well, if that happens, we're not yet part of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that Jesus invites us to belong to. The second story he tells is very similar. It's about a pearl merchant, someone who's an expert in finding pearls. And pearls were more valuable than gold in Jesus' time because there were fewer of them. There was more gold than there were pearls. So it was a very, very valuable kind of thing. And Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking for fine pearls. Someone who is serious about something that's valuable. A merchant, someone who spends life and energy doing this. When he finds a pearl of great price, what does he do? He goes and sells all that he has and buys it. It's the same story, really, isn't it? Is Jesus the pearl of great price in your life and in mine? And then Jesus tells a third story, which is different. It's very similar to the story we heard two Sundays ago about a field that had both wheat planted in it, good wheat, and also weeds growing up together. It was really a parable about judgment at the end of time, about who belongs to the kingdom of God and who doesn't. So let's look at this story and see what it tells us. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea. And what we're supposed to imagine in our mind is a dragnet, which is a very large net that was tied to two boats, and as the boats rowed to the shore, it would collect all the fish and everything else that was on the floor of the lake as the boats came to the shore. And when they got to the shore, the fishermen would go through the net, throw away the fish that wasn't good and the old bottles and other kind of things, and put the really valuable fish into containers to be sold. And then Jesus, explaining this parable, tells us this: thus it will be at the end of the age, which is the end of time. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Now, so being a member of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is an important thing. You know, Jesus is telling us to take his word and our discipleship seriously, because our decisions about that have extraordinary eternal consequences for our lives. You know, God really does care if we respond to his grace. You know, if you and I, throughout our lives, choose to be mean, selfish, self-centered persons, when we die, we're going to be mean, selfish, self-centered persons, incapable of being in the presence of the all-loving God. You know, God doesn't put any of us in hell. We put ourselves there by making ourselves incapable of receiving God's love and mercy. And we do that by making decisions here and now. Decisions have consequences. They either make us generous or they make us selfish. If, unlike King Solomon, we decide to dedicate our lives to promoting ourselves, collecting riches, punishing our enemies, at the end of our lives, that has consequences, eternal consequences for ourselves. Now, at the end of this story, of these stories, these three stories, Jesus asks his disciples a question. So this is the question I'm going to ask you at the end of my homily. It's the same question that Jesus asked those who were listening to him when he spoke. He says, "Do you understand all these things?" And of course they said, "Yes," as we all probably would say. But you notice the use of his words. He says, "Do you understand them?" He didn't say, "Did you hear them?" Do you understand them? Do you stand under them? Do you stand under their authority? Do you live this reality in your lives? And he goes on to say, every scribe — a scribe was a scripture scholar, someone who knew the law, read the law, would transcribe it sometimes, but could then teach other people. And all of us here are supposed to be scribes of the kingdom of God. We're supposed to know the word of God. He says, every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven — and we've, that's happened to us this evening as we've heard God's word — is like the head of a household, a steward, who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old. We are disciples of Jesus who, having heard his word, which is an old word, a word from the past, are required to make Jesus' words a new reality in our lives today. We have to be stewards of God's words for ourselves, but also for others. You know, those of you who are married have to be stewards of the word of God for your husband or for your wife. Those of you who have children are responsible for being the steward of God's word for them. Those of us who are pastors, you know, bishops and priests and deacons, are stewards of the kingdom of God for those that God places in our care. It's a responsibility we have. But we can't really live that responsibility unless we're willing to stand under, to be understanding of God's word and of the kingdom of God. We can't give to others what we don't have ourselves. So the Lord is asking us in these scripture readings today to embrace his word, to embrace his kingdom, to live it faithfully, and pass that gift on to other people with joy, at being willing to make a sacrifice, and to do it now. May God bring to good completion the good things he's beginning in us again tonight.